Well, hello everybody. Lovely to see you all. It's so good to be alive. I thank God that we're one day older and an opportunity to get to know God more by reading the Bible and talking to Him. Praise the Lord that we're brought through halfway through the week and that it won't be long before the next Sabbath, the high day of the week. To those that might be listening on the phone or to the recordings, welcome as well. And please sing with us as we open with How Great Thou Art. Those who'd like to sing a verse online, please pop up your bubble. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art!
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great
Amen. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Come with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim My God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Thank you, brethren and sisters. Thank you. What a blessing to hear others sing the truth of God. Oh, God. You know, some of the words, gladly bearing, Jesus goes to the cross, despising the shame on our behalf because he saw the travail of his soul and was glad. It's not for nothing. And may every one of us determine that he can save us as we go forward by God's grace. Shall we kneel for the opening prayer before we study the Bible? Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of having a tongue to sing and especially to communicate what you're doing for us. I pray that we will continue to use this and glorify you before others, before men, with a faith that believes that more individuals are looking at us than we can actually see, even the unfallen worlds. And it's our privilege. And it's on our side to be powerful against all wickedness in high places and every imagination that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into subjection to the mind of Christ. And we know we can't do the actions of Christ unless we have the mind of Christ. And we pray especially that you'll be in our midst as we unite to understand your word in the book of Acts of the Apostles of the early Christian church, which we pray we learn lessons that we'll be able to apply ourselves as we want to finish up this work. We know you've wanted to finish it up for a long time and that it's always been true that we can overcome and hence serve you fully, wholeheartedly. Thank you for bearing with us. Thank you for convicting of sin for the purpose of confession and forsaking by the same power that's calling us to repent, even the grace of God, Almighty God. We thank you for the fantastic news that Brother Joel and the brethren over there in Africa had a successful meeting. When they go their way, I pray that they'll be blessed with that influence that was felt so that it can enter into their work and they do their work even more effectually because of the encouragement that comes from camp meetings, which is one of the reasons why they're held. We also pray that in places that have never held camp meetings that something would be done in this area that might grow, that somehow that more precious souls will be able to meet up on a basis, even if it's just once, now and again, because of the vast distances, to regroup and to strengthen one another, and then to go back out in the field. I look forward to reading the book of Acts with the brethren and sisters, and we continue to uphold you and thank you for seeing to it before we ask. Those that are sick in our midst or in pain, we pray that you would continue to bless our dear sister Michelle with the shoulder and the issue beside us that has affected her for some time now. We pray that 100% would be reached where she's got use of it and doesn't even know she had it in the past. That'll be even better than before. We also uphold dear other souls that requested prayers because of the pain and something that has been brought to their attention. So we think about Brother Jane, that some cure might be found for this dear brother in the prognosis of the diagnosis of cancer being his lot. We pray that you would help, further help us, see if we can help play some role, if we can do something more than prayer alone, that you would open up to us what that is that we could do. Thank you for allowing us to meet like this. It's kind of like a camp meeting for an hour or two, and we appreciate it. I'm so glad brethren and sisters have been utilizing this for years, and that it's opening up fields of labor for ourselves and collectively to grow up and be edified, to be, as it were, working as if we're in the same neighborhood, in the same, town and city. Indeed, may your spirit be near each and every one of us so we can be like that and think like that and feel like that. The field is enormous, but Holy Spirit, you are omnipotent. Nothing's too hard for you, and we're grateful that we have the privilege of following Jesus's charter, which is to go to the whole world, and that power will be given to the former. So please be with us now, keep everyone in the room, and avoid people dropping, precious souls dropping out, and also our brethren and sisters that are meeting and having their own prayer meetings and church services, that your spirit would be in their midst and bless them with light and encouragement to continue, especially under difficult circumstances. Perhaps there's weather issues, like in the Philippines, like in the east coast of America, that are affecting them on a level that is threatening their houses. Please help them be able to prepare for that event, and above all, to be ready, as we ought to all be, to die in Christ as well as live. And thank you for this unlimited power offered to each of us for us to exercise like little children. I pray that we be children now, and you'll bless us as our Heavenly Father. Thank you for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, welcome everybody again. I pray that you've had a blessed half week, and we might get something encouraging from this reading now. Amen. That's wonderful. I hope Sister Ida is blessed to get in here again if possible. Well, we got, excuse me, to Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 last week. And to review what we covered last time, the decision in the Council of Jerusalem was made known in Antioch. And Silas, Paul, and Barnabas, they also remain in Antioch after that decision is made known. And as Paul's manner was, we learnt that he says, let us go again, characteristic of Paul, which became the second missionary tour from AD 49 to 52, so lasting about 3 years. We also read about the dissension between Paul and Barnabas. And undoubtedly, we can see it from Barnabas' family relationship with John Mark, partially helped, led him to wish to take the young man once more on a missionary tour to give him an opportunity to show his fitness for the service. And he doubtless recognized what Paul didn't, that there were some circumstances at least that may have even excused John on his turning back from an arduous task, which was recorded in Acts 13. But for Paul, as we have come across his writings, we recognize his earnest and courageous warrior that he was for Christ. Anyone who so acted seemed, it appears, from when we read how his reaction was in the Lord's own words, is not fit for the kingdom if he turns back and, from the plot, from the plow and working and was in need of discipline or rejection at least for a time to fit himself for further work. And of course, after this separation for a time, he became an earnest laborer for Christ, and Paul spoke of him confidently, affectionately, that's written in Colossians chapter 4:10, and wished to see him during his last imprisonment before Paul was beheaded. Though the apostles, which is interesting, which is also brought out by a brother, the apostles differed as to who was worthy to join in such work, whether to take John Mark or not, there was no division between them. So they weren't, you know, starting their own church. They weren't separating. They weren't creating a division that required them to be working on different sides. But they knew what they did agree on was the work that ought to be done in the gospel. And how big's the field? Is it pretty big? We hear the common saying that it's a small world. It's huge to us as individuals, but it is small to God. And there's a work that's always to be done, and the Holy Spirit must always be available. And as we'll read in this chapter, we're going to find out just how the Spirit works specifically in leaders. Oh, I'm sorry about that. The sound's very low. Is that like that for others? No, it's good. Okay. Oh, great. Good for you too, Luce. Hi, James. Oh, great. Great. Thank you. Great. And then we have Paul and Silas depart for Cilicia, and the calling of Timothy at Lystra, and the ministry in Galatia. And perhaps I just might read the first two verses before verse 6. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. There's a good pattern here, isn't there? They don't let that dissension that occurred when the Judaizers came down and told the people, oh no, you've got to accept circumcision, and then that was just the wedge to introducing all the sacrificial and ceremonial observances on them. But here we have that they go no further. They send appointed Saul and Barnabas and others to Jerusalem. They have the council, and it's decided, the Holy Spirit presides, and everyone agrees in the church on the decrees. And with that, when this is actually the design of the decrees given to the church, we see here that the church is established in the faith and not broken up, and increased in number daily. Hand in hand, wow. What a blessing. I mean, what an opportunity held out to all of us to follow the same example and expect even greater things than we've experienced in the past. And what a field Acts of the Apostles presents to us. And I hope that our church today, that the church of God today, may have even more power attend them because of the more...
I thought I'd better jump in while I'm still online. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Thank you, dear sis. Amen. Wow. The Holy Spirit forbidding something. We're not told how this is done, are we? Whether it was in a vision or by prophecy given through the gifts that Paul had received. Luke doesn't say. But we know that through the Spirit he was forbidding him to enter into Asia and then Bithynia, which is verse 7, and he did not go into either of these regions. So he keeps out of Asia, and this Asia is not the Asia. Yeah, amen, Elder Bob. Yeah, strong impression. Yeah, I mean, because I think that's the only one I'm familiar with. Personally, I've never heard an audible voice or had such a powerful dream as he did with the Macedonia call, which is coming up. Did anyone have anything they might like to say as well?
I think that this very issue of the Holy Spirit forbidding God's workers from going to this place at that particular time is proof beyond doubt that the Spirit is not some essence or power, but is an actual divine entity, a divine person. He has his own mind. He has his own ability to look at the work as a whole and decide this is proper at this time or this is not proper at this time. And so it's more than just a power. It's an actual thinking divine person.
Amen. What a good point. Yes. It's not a force we're talking about. It's a being, someone who can communicate, someone who has a mind of his own. So good, such a good point, and so much needed for us to constantly recognize, because in so exercising faith, we believe he'll be able to communicate to us, not necessarily as spectacular as the Apostle Paul did, but showing us from the Word of God what to do next. And you know, it's interesting in this, what the Spirit said no to. Do we realize when he says to keep out of Asia that those were cities that were teeming of Jewish communities? So we know Paul loved to witness to everyone, including the Jews, and that included such cities as Ephesus, Smyrna, and Sardis, which had large Jewish communities. And were also, they happened to be great centers of idolatrous worship too, outside the city, outside the Jewish synagogues. So they must have made a strong appeal to Paul, and that we're not told that he said anything, but he was completely obedient. He doesn't say, oh, but you don't understand, there's this and there's that, there's so many synagogues there, I'm allowed access to them, I'm a Jew and I'm usually able to speak, I have been able in the past. He doesn't say any of that. He's completely obedient, and the missionary party was led toward the northwestern coast, not knowing where the next labors would actually be. So they didn't even know what would be next when he's being forbidden. They're being forbidden in this journey. Which would mean Asia is not what we know as modern Asia today, but the western end of Asia Minor, embracing much of the western part of modern Turkey. Amen. Comment in the room. No human reasoning used to change the mind of the Spirit. So we're told by Jesus to be, except we be as this little child that he had on his knees, or next to him standing, we can in no wise enter into the kingdom of God, both spiritual and the literal one to come. I found an interesting quotation from Acts of the Apostles, pages 207 and 208. I'd like to share with you. It starts off like this. Every true minister feels a heavy responsibility for the spiritual advancement of the believers entrusted to his care, a longing desire that they shall be laborers together with God. He realizes that upon the faithful performance of his God-given work depends in a large degree the well-being of the church. Earnestly and untiringly, he seeks to inspire the believers with a desire to win souls for Christ, remembering that every addition to the church should be one more agency for the carrying out of the plan of redemption. Having visited the churches in Pisidia and the neighboring region, Paul and Silas, with Timothy, pressed on into Phrygia and the region of Galatia, where with mighty power they proclaimed the glad tidings of salvation. The Galatians were given up to the worship of idols, but as the apostles preached to them, they rejoiced in the message that promised freedom from the thraldom of sin. Paul and his fellow workers proclaimed the doctrine of righteousness by faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ. They presented Christ as the one who, seeing the helpless condition of the fallen race, came to redeem men and women by living a life of obedience to God's law and by paying the penalty of disobedience. And in the light of the cross, many who had never before known of the true God began to comprehend the greatness of the Father's love. So it's not Jesus alone, it's the Father as well. Thus, the Galatians were taught the fundamental truths concerning God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. By the hearing of faith, they received the Spirit of God and became the children of God by faith in Christ. End of the quote. Before we go on, is there any other comments anyone would like to make? Any questions? Amen. Thank you for making that point. There's all three gods are involved in our salvation. A comment in the room. It's not two, it's not one, it's not four. Three. Blessed number. Three gods. Literally. So the Spirit of God, we can be assured that he's just in love with us. And for our salvation as the Father and the Son are. It's not lessened. Would someone like to read verses 8?
As they passed by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, said, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Amen. Excuse me. Wow. So here we have a call for Europe to be entered, the first time in the history of the early Christian church that we have a record of. Europe is the next direction for the apostle to head. He must have been thrilled to get this comfort because he's just been told earlier he's being forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, but then has a dream inspired by God to a call to enter Europe. And we have the same call coming our way, don't we? Taking every one of us into new fields. You know, you probably wondered, like I have, how Paul, well, some may have wondered, how Paul knew that the man he saw in vision was a Macedonian. And, of course, according to the dream, it's obvious. He says, come into Macedonia. Very clear. Where did it go? He's got no doubt. And today, absolutely, comment in the room, into all the world is our call today. No different than then. There's specific instructions how to go about it, but it's into all the world. So we can know we'll have God's blessing upon us when we unreservedly give ourselves to working for him. Instead of working for this world and this world alone, or not single to the glory of God, but to this world and the things that are therein. You know, those three warnings we get from the Apostle John, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The very things that caused our first parents to fall. You notice how quick Paul also listened to the instructions. It said he immediately went. He must have been thrilled now that he had somewhere to go and work and be assured that God was with him in this. And as we'll find out, it may have not looked like the dream he saw, but he had faith, and we'll get into that this was God-led. It actually led to a dear woman. Who was obedient to the faith.
Amen, brother. And I agree with you. Paul must have been overjoyed because all this time now he's been going by faith, just basically entering into different areas because they were the next town along the road, and just trusting in God to provide the way for the truth to spread and reach the hearts of the people. And so a couple areas he tried to enter in, the Spirit said no. And then he gets this vision saying, go to Macedonia. So here's clear, definite instruction from God on where to go next. No longer is he going by chance the next town along the road. He's now got a mission directly from God on where to go. And a lot of times we become hesitant and distrustful of what we should do. And sometimes that keeps us from doing it because we don't have any clear, definite instruction to go to this block of the town or to go to the next town. We just sort of have to go with the open doors. But here is definite instruction where to go. So he must have been overjoyed to recognize God's will and to have God reveal that to him. I mean, that's a privilege and an honor.
Amen. And this is the first time, of course, Paul and others are going to actually go to a whole different continent. True, he's familiar with the language, but it's in a whole new field, and it's definitely not where he thought he was going to go at that time. And he cannot fail to see the reason that lay behind the divine prohibitions he'd so faithfully obeyed. He goes along with what is revealed, what he should do. And so it's such self-sacrificing service that Paul and the others bring out. They weren't really afraid, were they? They were fearless for Christ's sake to work for him, not knowing what that would entail. I can just imagine them reading the Bible daily, or their scroll, what they had available at that time, the leaves of their books, and getting strength from it, from the true God that ever led the children of Israel, or before there was ever a Jew on the planet, that he's rich to all the ones who truly obey him. And it must have been very encouraging too when they thought that the Gentiles were being led to the truth, how it involved the whole of humanity, whoever wanted to serve God from the heart, which doesn't necessarily get acknowledged from human beings, but God recognizes it and he gives accordingly. Praise the Lord. Naturally, we can see a warning in this, that if we were to close our own ears to the Macedonian calls we get, naturally spiritual weakness would have to creep in, because we see that when Paul and the others obey, they have success, they're strengthened, their faith strengthened, and others are brought to the faith, as we'll go further in the book of Acts and see what the results are of obeying. Would someone like to read, or does anyone?
It's interesting that makes the point that after Paul had the vision, then it says immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So he just without a question, it's like, okay, we're going.
Oh, what a good point, Sister Jane. It makes you think that when he gets out of the dream, did he get up straight away? I mean, it does say immediately. I wouldn't be surprised if he did, if it was a distance away, obviously. They didn't have, you know, the car transport that we have today. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for underlining it. A good point. Okay, would someone like to read verses 11 to 15?
Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. So they didn't dilly-dally around. They took a straight course there. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come unto my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So she was saying, no, I really mean it. I really want you to come to my house.
Yeah. Her conversion was speaking great words and actions. Thank you, sis. Thank you, sister. Good point about just going straight on. No mucking about, not even being stopped by anyone, you know, to be put off course for an hour or two talking to someone they've never met. I think Sister Lucy, you're mentioning to me in a text what the term colony means. Are you still online? Oh, she's not. Oh, she's been kicked out, is she? I was going to read that, but maybe when she comes back in, interesting term. We find here on the Sabbath, here they are in a strange city, in a strange land, and they've been there for some days. When the Sabbath comes, they long naturally to be with one another on the Sabbath and with fellow Jews whom they could worship with and impart, obviously, the good news of salvation. And that included Jesus Christ. It wasn't without Jesus Christ. That was the good news. It was better than, it was prophecy fulfilled of the Old Testament. And you could imagine they were probably looking for a synagogue. And, the record doesn't say they found one. And they went to a temporary place of worship by the riverside, which happened to be where these women were and where prayer was wont to be made. It says in verse 12 that certain days had passed. It appears that that would be less than 1 week because the Sabbath is then mentioned in the following verse. Let's say there were no synagogues in Philippi, and the few Jews may have established a meeting place on the riverbank where they could perform their ceremonial washings, such as is listed in Ezra 8:15 and verse 21 and Psalm 137:1. A comment in the room, most of the temples Jesus attended were out in nature. True. Amen. I mean, that's where most of them occurred. Yeah. Amen. And I've got to tell you, that's much better than, no matter how magnificent the building or the architecture of a place might be, even the temple itself, nothing can outdo God's building. You know what I mean? It's like, it's art imitating the true, the blessed. And there's something about nature. I think, you know, I've talked to some unbelievers, and it's amazing how they always talk to me about how they long to be in the farm, in the country. And I say, I suspect that's something built in us as human beings. We like where we first were originally put. Yeah, peaceful and soothing. I think that appealed to this particular individual who shared this. You know, it's interesting. We're told that in the dream of Paul, it says it was a man of Macedonia, and it actually proved to be a devout group of Jewish women. Wow. Oh, what went wrong? Or did anything really go wrong? It was a dream, and it was inspiration. And here was, I mean, you could imagine if Paul said, oh no, but it had to be a man, and whatever he saw in the background had to be under that exact circumstance. But Paul didn't take it like that. And I can imagine maybe he did think he was still going to see that man, but no one was excluded from the good news. Woman, slave, man, Jew, Greek, vagabond, didn't matter. I could imagine that must have helped him, you know, see, this is a fulfillment of fulfilling the call that came to him when he immediately gets up, possibly in the middle of the night, heading for Macedonia and ending up in Philippi. Sister Lucy, I've just realized that now that you're in side. I think you are asking me, and thank you for asking that. A colony. What does that mean? Now, I haven't looked up the concordance just now, but I've got a quote from Bible commentary, and it says Philippi had become a Roman colony after the defeat of Brutus and Cassius by Octavian and Antony in 42 BC. After the Battle of Actium, 31 BC, this status was strengthened and the city's full title, as shown on coins that have been found, came to be Colonia Augustus Julia Philippensis. A Roman colonia bore little relation to our modern concept of a colony. It was a portion of conquered territory assigned to Roman citizens who were often veteran soldiers. Wow, so that was like their booty for their army endeavors. These were sent out under the authority of Rome and marched to their destination like an army to reproduce an equivalent to Roman civil and social life. These colonies were often on the frontiers as a protection and as a check upon local provincial magistrates. The names of the colonists were retained on the lists of the tribes of Rome. They took with them their Latin language and their Roman coinage. Oftentimes, their chief magistrates were appointed from the mother city and were independent of the governors of the province where the colony was planted. In this way, the colony was closely united with Rome. There's a comment in the room, Sister Joan. Lydia must have been well known in Thyatira as she was a seller of purple. That was a difficult color to obtain. Amen. They were known for it in that area, weren't they? Was that right? I remember there's one particular place, Royal Colour, amen, Elder Bob. Yeah, you can imagine that would be popular. Yeah, and the fact that it's just her mention, it sounds like she had her own business, doesn't it? It doesn't mention her husband. The Lord had called the evangelist, Paul, and Silas, and Luke, to preach the gospel in Macedonia, and they'd lost no time in fulfilling his commission. Now the Lord cooperates with their efforts by opening the heart of a prominent member of their audience. Luke recognizes the need for such divine cooperation. He knows that their preaching is vain. You imagine that. It's all good. They've got the right doctrines in that. His preaching is vain without the work of the Spirit upon the hearer's heart, or literally the Holy Spirit being present and then being allowed to enter the heart, not just being on the outside present, but inside. And it produces a faithful servant such as Lydia, and not just her, but the whole of her household. I have a quote from manuscript, letter 150, 1900 on this very verse. It says, light for those who are willing. God's Spirit can only enlighten the understanding of those who are willing to be enlightened. We read that God opened the ears of Lydia so that she attended to the message spoken by Paul. To declare the whole counsel of God and all that was essential for Lydia to receive, this was the part Paul was to act in her conversion, and then the God of all grace exercised his power, leading the soul in the right way. God and the human agent cooperated, and the work was wholly successful. Wow. Ever wondering what brings success? It's that combination. I think it was a comment from last week that we're talking about justification and sanctification. Justification is a gift of God, and sanctification is the cooperation of man with God for salvation, to be saved in being obedient to God. And not just that, but enjoying to do it, as much as it hurts, to enjoy because of the fruits it bears. We only have to look to Jesus and those who followed him to see what kind of fruit they bore. Well, that's interesting, sister. A comment in the room, in Bible times, the color purple was made from snails. Wow. Now, the strange thing I've last heard about snails is people eating them. That's years ago. And that's an unclean snack or food, as we know, from the prohibitions in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Thank you for that, sister. That's That's interesting. Fascinating. Did you notice that in verse 15, she was baptized and all the house with her? And you know, I can just imagine, it says that she listened in verse 14. Perhaps it was longer than just an hour or so. Well, that's interesting, Sister Jean. No worse than red from cockroaches. Wow. I thought you might only get black from cockroaches. Only from appearance. Interesting. When we're told in verse 14 that she was listening, we're not told how much time goes or transpires, but obviously the baptism takes place. And the fact that her household was baptized is no proof that the practice of infant baptism was done by the apostles, as some might like to have it, because the household would have consisted of slaves and other employees, such as is listed in the same book, Acts chapter 10 verse 2, chapter 16 verse 32 and 33. And they might have been proselytes as well. So Judaism, which is what they believed in and what they had come to know, had been a schoolmaster leading them to Christ. And when one's led to Christ, you don't want to sin against Christ. You don't want to hold on to your sins. You want to give them to Christ, as dirty as they will be to his pure heart, because that's why he's come for us. Like the song that we open with, he gladly bore the suffering, the contradiction of sinners against himself, and he bleeds and dies. And, you know, I suppose one of the worst things for Jesus was, what if no one believes? I'm sure the devil would have been constantly telling him that, because it's all for nothing anyway. But it's not so. But when he felt like his father left him, it broke his heart, and that's ultimately what killed him. It's so beautiful to see the hospitality and a steadfast adherence in the faith that won a special place in Paul's affections in Lydia and the others, to make a home ready for them. Marvelous. This is the first Christian church in Europe founded by Paul under the Holy Spirit. Does anyone have any thoughts, questions, comments to make regarding these verses? Or any other? Or anything else?
I was thinking about Lydia and what she did, and I'm thinking that since Thyatira is by the sea, the snails may have been sea snails, and Michelle says a sea snail is known as Balaenus brandaris, and I know that some of the sea creatures will emit a purple dye when they are disturbed. And so I'm not saying actually that's what happened, but it's interesting. But Lydia listened to Paul, and it said her heart was opened up when she heard Paul speak. The Lord opened her heart. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So whatever Paul said, she believed it and did it. And she believed in God and became baptized and her household. And so we don't know how many people were there, but it was a real blessing to Paul and who was with Paul, Silas. Anyway, it was a real blessing to them.
Amen, sister. Absolutely. I would have loved to be there, but it's amazing. There's another comment. There's a comment in the room. Amen. When there is a first, there will soon be a second, third, etc. Because that's how God works. It's not just one and then that's it. Or it's not one ruling over all the rest. It's one, two, three under the direction of God's Holy Spirit and with the desire to cover the whole world as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Amen. And I got a scripture song that goes along with that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19.
Amen. That's beautiful. The charter statement of the New Testament. Fantastic. I'll have to learn that soon. Melodies are so helpful to ingrain into your mind the truths of Scripture. Even if you can't remember where the Scripture is, you know it's there. But if you have the melody, the word, because it's the words that matter, it's good to know where it came from. But if you only remember the melody with the words, it is a powerful armor against the enemy, a powerful sword to use against the one who's shooting fiery darts against us. And Elder Bob, you mentioned Habakkuk 2:14, and that quotation says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Amen. And another comment, "And where the word of a king is, there is power." And Jesus is King of Kings. He's above all kings. He sets down and sets up. Well, I think we might leave it there. If anyone has any comments or questions, or perhaps any testimonies they'd like to share, or prayer requests, please feel free while I get my pencil to share or to type, whatever you like.
Speaking of music helping the memory is so true. It actually worked for me when I was in getting my nursing degree, and I was taking a class in chemistry, and we were required to give the first 10 elements, I believe it was, of the periodic chart in order. And I thought, and I was 57 or 58 years old at that time, and of course you're not supposed to have any neurons that work very good when you're that old, but they do. And so I made up this little melody and wove into this melody the first 10 elements on the periodic chart. And I remember that to this day. That's how strong putting words and music together, especially.
That's so encouraging, Sister. I think you said you were 58 at the time. And, you know, I've known Lucy, Sister Lucy, for 7 years now. And so when I met her, she was, you don't like me putting words out, do you, Lucy? Well, you said after 80, I can mention it. Is that right? But I've known her for 7 years, and, you know, it's amazing, Joan, what you're saying, Sister, about the power of memory and that, because that's so encouraging to us, because when I tell the Sister Lucy, she hears some of the scripture songs I'm trying to learn for that week, or just one at a time, once enough at that time, but she goes, "Oh, no, you remember it." And I said, "You know, I'm concerned I'm not going to remember it because it's so long, but after going over it again and again, you know, eventually it starts becoming a part of you." And I've noticed in Sister Lucy, she shared a number of things that she was taught in primary school and also high school. And she says it like it's in front of her on a piece of paper. And she's taught it like over 60 years ago. And it's amazing, the mind. You know, one thing that amazes me too is people that have, eidetic memories. And, you know, they really, it's like they've got all the information in front of them. That's how Sister Lucy comes across at times when she remembers things of long ago. Maybe you could say the same. I mean, what you're just sharing then, Sister Joan, about the periodic table. These people, they really doesn't seem to be hard whatsoever. And I can't help but think, perhaps that's how Adam and Eve's mind, and probably no doubt better, were in the beginning. Where their neurons were all working, 100% of their brain was all working, and it was one of the reasons they didn't even need books. Wow. Because why do I want a book? What's that? It's all up here. And it's all there. And if you've ever seen eidetic memory people, and there's not many of them, but it's like they got the book right in front of you, and they can read the whole book without looking at it. And it's just marvelous. I can't help but think God's trying to remind us of that. You know, that day when our first parents and the first generations on this planet were around. a tender reminder. Oh, okay, sister. Yes, I did have that in mind. Yeah, amen, Abba Bob. And I think you've said it, I've said it, maybe others have said it in the room and to themselves and to other people. You know, if you could have that with the Bible, you know. And that's one of the reasons I'm trying to learn scripture songs, because melody, it's easy. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but it seems to be much more powerful to remember words of scripture in their order with melody. And one of the ways you can do that is with scripture songs that have been put to tune. And yeah, amen. I know there is one Christian at least that has known, can say the whole Bible without looking at it. I only heard of one person that has done, maybe there's no doubt others, but yeah, what a blessing. I think another point is, it's one thing to have that, it's another to actually understand what you've remembered and believe what you remember, because a lot of the eidetic memory people, they're not really trying. I mean, they really don't look like they're trying. And, you know, they don't use acronyms. They just rattle off as if it's in front of them, and they tell you what they look like. They say, oh, it's just there in my head. Like I can see it, but they don't have a sheet of paper in front of them. So it's just, yeah, amen. Yes, I can appreciate that. A comment in the room. Elder Bob's comment in the room. So it's good to forget other things, isn't it? A lot of bad things can be forgotten. Sister Lucy just mentioned something that's happened, and indeed, we've been praying about this. It's been a private prayer request. I don't know if anyone remembers, but at the beginning of this year and at the near the end of last year, we had a dear friend who was a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Reform Movement, and her name was Sister Faye Vinetti. And we met, I'll just briefly say, I put booklets of Light Ministries on the cars. There wasn't many. And I got a call from her a week or two later. And she told me, oh, you know, this is an interesting looking book, and I've started to read it, et cetera, et cetera. And who are you with, and where do you go to church, et cetera. And she actually her car wasn't actually there. She just took one off of another car and read it, because she wasn't there at the time. But that's how interested she was. She took it for, she said, it's all right, they won't miss it. The other person, I laughed, but I said, did you let them know, like, they can have a copy? Because apparently she knew them. And anyway, she's going to come online here with us, and we're going to spend some time, and that was the first time we could not go online. Maybe you remember that, Elder Bob, where there was actually a problem with everyone trying to get online. It was near January, February. I think it was January this year. And so we couldn't go online, but we still had a reading ourselves, a Bible reading together. And we were actually looking at the SDA, is your SDA church part of Babylon? Now, why in the world are we looking at that when she's a Reform Movement member? Well, because her membership's still in the SDA church. For 30 years now, she's never removed it. And she moved to the Reform Movement, but she's never become technically a member on the books. So as we're getting growing relationships, Sister Lucy, myself, and her, all of a sudden it goes deadly quiet, and we can't get her on the phone. We can't get her in text. We don't know where she lives. We figured she could have died. That would probably be the last possibility. And I thought, you know, she must have pulled out the heretic gun and shot us or something. It's something I did. I'm not sure. She maybe loaded, didn't like something I said as she thought over. I'm not sure. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's the first heretic gun that's been pulled out. But she hadn't said that. And amen, seeds are planted in a comment in her room. And wonderfully, I was just ringing Sister Lucy yesterday as I was going shopping and, excuse me, and, we sometimes do digital shopping, and she happened to get a knock on a door from a lady, and, so Lucy had to go off the phone, and lo and behold, it was her. After 9 months, it was her, and I'm so glad because I praise God. I mean, we really thought we weren't going to hear from her ever again. And it was just seeds are planted, but we would never see her again, possibly, as it is with many people. And so, but it was her, and she visited Lucy, and, she wants to stay in contact. And, one of the things that Sister Lucy came up with is, why don't we put a note in the book or somewhere, or try to ring the Reformed Church members. And we did get in contact with one member who seemed to say she was okay and that, but we couldn't go any further, and we were trying to witness to him as well at the same time, and sharing things and asking questions. And so there she was. I had to jump over the big, you know, I'm admitting this online on a recording, but I jumped over the big fence and just put it in the door, and she must have got it. I'm so glad, and she's obviously responded. So we're hoping to meet her soon, and we just pray we'll be able to help her. And this is a subject of prayer with the Reform movement, and why, because there are differences between that and the SDA Church. Those differences aren't enough or possible.
Thank you, Bro. I will. Before I do talk about my daughter, my relationship with her has taken a great leap forward. I just want to set, I'm not sure that, I think my dear brother James might have left the wrong impression about me being concerned about my age. I'm not at all. In fact, I haven't even reached average yet, I discovered yesterday. Average lifespan for a woman is 84, and I had 6 months to go. So I'm still a youngster. When we first planned to share accommodation, I heard him on the phone talking to a friend saying, I'm just sharing a place with an elderly lady. And when he got off the phone, I said to him, where's this elderly lady? I thought it was just you and me. I was 75 years young at that stage, I think. Anyway, but when I got to be 80, I thought, I told him at the time he could say I was nearly not quite elderly. That was all right. But when I got to be 80, I cancelled that and said, okay, you can call me elderly now. But I'm not fussed. As I said, I'm not even average yet. My daughter, those of you who've sort of followed my fortunes over the years will know that my daughter was very estranged from me for 8 years. For reasons I don't really understand, I was not estranged from her. About 15 months ago, she opened the door a little, in our relationship, and it's progressed very slowly over the last little while. She's not been very friendly. She's not been rude. She'd be quite courteous, but not sort of warm. And yesterday she sent me a text suggesting I should go over and visit her in the afternoon, which is the very first time I've been invited by myself. When she's had family functions, I've been invited. But I went over then. We had a lovely time together, and it's getting very close to me being able to talk to her about the power of prayer. She rubbished it at one stage, and another time asked me to pray for her. So I think the time is right ready for me to just step in and let her know the truth. And I ask for your prayers in doing that. Thank you.
Amen, dear sis. Thank you for sharing that. Amen. I forgot to mention, dear Sister Faye, she's actually a coal porter. She's done coal portering work. So who knows, down the track she might just be willing to go over. Yeah, I just learned I'm 73 today. So that's good. It makes me, you know, they say it's No, it's just a number. Is there any other requests, comments, testimonies before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free.
Yes, the 1,000 views of our videos has been reached. So praise God.
Yes, good evening all. I would like to thank God for the wonderful week we went through. It was really wonderful. We all gathered 24 kilometers from our capital, Kampala. And this is one of our oldest churches since our separation movement. I remember when Edgar and James visited us, they had many proposals that they had wanted to put maybe a school in that location. And the brethren were new in the movement, but they had secured land. So when we went there, I not also visited the place. But in Mirachos, when we went there, we found they had elected a very strong structure, story structure actually. That was very great to us. And I, Kenneth, Patrick, and Richard were main speakers of the week. And things went well. That three people had agreed to be baptized. One, the father refused her in the early morning hours. Then so, God bless us with two souls to the church. It's my humble appeal and thanks to you that you continue to support us with the literature. This is a city, almost a town area, and surrounded by many institutions. There's Mokoni University and many other institutions. So the majority of the people living in this area know how to read, and so they consume a lot of our literature. So we pray that you continue supporting us with the prayer so that our brethren around that location can give out. You remember, this is one of the areas where we have many controversies. SDA presence is much. They try to bribe the authorities to refuse us that we are not registered. Maybe we have a hidden agenda. So your prayer is very important for this area, that the work may continue to go ahead. We also have other meetings elsewhere, but due to constraints, we may not be able to reach there, but where possible, we shall be traveling to go and attend, probably speak where necessary. So, it was a wonderful week and a blessed week that I was able to meet many of the old brethren I had taken along without meeting. We met with Joseph Mulong and many others. I was able to share a prison experience with Moses Mwewe. It was great and really encouraged us to get some good plan to visit the biggest prison in the country, actually. I cannot say it's the headquarters of prison, but one of the biggest in the country that Mwewe was, Moses was in prison in. And he told us there is a chance for every faith to go and talk to the prisoners. So he encouraged us that let's get time and open up prison ministry so that we can be visiting there. It was a nice and wonderful experience to hear of. So thank you for supporting and standing with us that you may be able and strengthen to start up the prison ministry. God bless you.
Thank you, dear brother, for that interesting report. Praise the Lord. The word lives and continues to grow. You know, seeing scenes of the Acts of the Apostles being fulfilled in your region. And may it continue. And may it do so in our region as well, in our regions abroad. Well, why don't we open it up to a season of prayer? I'm sorry, we've sort of gone over time than we're usual. I hope I don't put any of you out of your usual timing, but whoever would like to talk to the Lord will gladly join with you, and I'm happy to close, go last.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we meet together in fellowship this day, we are mindful that we have been charged with helping to bring the gospel of Jesus to the world. And because most of the world does not accept this truth, and indeed is actually opposed to it, we know that this task is not easy. In fact, we may often find ourselves rejected as we try to spread your word, and we ask that you will give us the courage to deal with this rejection, and that our zeal will not be diminished. Let us never give in to the pressure from unbelievers. We understand that it is your power, not ours, that will help us to achieve our goal, and so we call upon this power as we endeavour faithfully to spread the message of salvation, the message of the value of the sacrifice of your Son, and of the assurance we gain of everlasting life, if we can but live up to your guidelines as to how to achieve this. We want also to share the message of hope that your word brings to us in a world beset by dangers and difficulties. How grateful we are that we know this to be true, that we can meet all of these trials if we only follow the way your word makes plain to us. We pray that we can spread this news to the best of our abilities to all those we come in contact with. In conclusion, dear Father, we pray that our greatest witnessing will always be our lives, the way we let our light shine through, the way we show our confidence in you in spite of any adversities we may experience, be that financial worries, health problems, or whatever. The way we deal with these issues could be, should be, a living witness of you in our lives. Thank you for listening to this prayer, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we love Wednesdays. They're uplifting in the middle of the week. And by that time, I find that I really need some help. And I know that you're ready and you're able to give it. And you love to give help to your people. We know that our ways are not your ways. And oh, sometimes maybe we just kind of jump out of the path that you would like us to take. So we ask that you will impress us, like you did Paul, with the right way to go and give us the strength to go there and tell us whom we should speak to and tell us what to say. And that sounds like an awful lot of dependence on you, but that's the only way that we can see things with your eyes and follow your plan for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the map book, the Bible, and for giving us the gifts that we can see every day, like beautiful flowers and birds. And we know you're always with us because we can see the things that you created and that you made, and we can feel you working in us. We're thankful that seeds have been planted and that there are many willing workers like Lydia that have a unique talent, and it becomes a means to spread the word. We're thankful that prayers have been answered and that people have been baptized, and that we have found the strength somehow to witness to others and to let our lives rub against someone else to where they're asking, why is this person different from all the rest of my associations? Help us to always stay on the path that you've put us on, and give us the strength to do that and the words to say. And we know that this is something you want to do, and we have no doubt that you're willing to do that. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And most gracious Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being allowed to choose to be a co-partner with you and Jesus Christ and with the literal Holy Spirit, a real being. Thank you, Holy Spirit, we can talk to you, and that you can talk to us, as we've just seen recorded in the Bible, of you doing that very thing in the infant church, and have done and is recorded in the Old Testament, imparting wisdom and instruction and encouragement and strength and grace to overcome self and sin and all of its counterparts. I thank you for saving dear brother Dick not long ago. How close he came to being severed, or, you know, he's fatal with that chainsaw incident. Thank you so much for protecting him and keeping him, and that bump being a blessed reminder of just what it represents, the saving of your power. And perhaps we all have some instances where we have a scar or some incident took place in our life in relation to it being saved, either physically or spiritually. And pray that we would have a special place for ourselves, turn the closet in some places of the scripture where we can recount these and become very intimate with you and private, and so be who we really are by acknowledging before you what we think we are, so you can communicate to us more of what you actually know we are. Thank you for this relationship. And thank you for blessing dear brother Joel and the brethren over there in Africa to have such a successful meeting and have the precious two souls extra to support in the work and to allow it to continue to go forward. We pray that the dear SDA presence that is big over there and other denominations, but especially the SDAs, might see in our fellow brothers and sisters that that they're not seeking to do them any harm, and that the truth matters above all else, and that if we're true Christians, it's good to reason. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord, and to reason together as brethren and profess believers of the same Lord, if indeed they want to serve the same Lord in the SDA camp. And thank you that you are moving upon individuals all throughout Babylonian fallen churches, that not one is being excluded from your light as much as they can able to bear without blinding them. We pray that we would be the instrument, like Paul and Silas and others were represented in the scriptures today, as simply doing, and our trust would be in the Holy Spirit literally, if there's to be any success, to be in us constantly and to be in those whom we're seeking to bless and be a blessing, allowing that love wherewith we're filled and astonished and awed over in Jesus to flow out to them. We also thank you for the ability to remember. Thank you for the mental cognitive faculty that allows us to, I pray, to continue to praise you even more, even if it's the same thing that brings out something special about extra that you've revealed to us, about how you've led us in the past to encourage our own souls and one another, and how you're leading out now. And thank you so much for blessing us with this, because it leads to usefulness. It leads to, you know, being in useful employment, useful Bible workers, ones that are guided by your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for blessing the start of a prison ministry in Africa, which starts in the minds and the children of men, like it has over in PNG. We pray that these precious ministries will bless those people in prison, that they would be moved deeply to know that it doesn't matter what they're guilty of, or it doesn't matter what they're not guilty of, that we are all guilty of the same thing, of the murder of the Son of God, but it doesn't have to remain that way. That the precious souls might see that Jesus has died for them as he's died for us who aren't in prison. That we've all been deceived into the prison house of sin. And that's our privilege to break free and have liberty in Christ Jesus, and to exert this liberty and let people know there's actually liberty, but it's not in removing the law of God. It's in being an overcomer. It's in being through obedience. It's through Jesus, by Jesus, in Jesus. The real second person of the Godhead. Thank you so much for the blessed news of a thousand precious souls having watched the precious DVD Present Truth presentations. Oh, I look forward when the 2,000 is reached, and we pray it won't take long before that's reached. And the dear souls that have watched it, that they would communicate any questions, comments, answers they might have to Let There Be Light Ministries and anyone else, and that what is started to be planted in them won't stop, that their soil of their heart would be plowed up, ready for more seed to go deeper into their heart and sprout up and have root in themselves, so they can stand up for you, Jesus, and the truth as it is in you. Thank you so much for the good news of Sister Lucy and her dear daughter. We pray that they will have such a close relationship with one another, and Jesus, that you would be behind this in formulating this plan and fulfilling it, and that Raleigh would see that there's no best friend like Jesus. And it's not putting down all the other people we call best friends, but it's lifting the one up who deserves to be lifted up, the one who came down from heaven, which none of us can say of ourselves or for anyone else, and has suffered a life and death that we deserve, that we might have the life that he deserves. And thank you for doing this. Please help us show this to others, that being a Christian is not sad, it's not gloomy, it's not down. We might not always be smiling, but we can always be Christians by your grace, Jesus. We can always show that there's a path for the just that's lifted up for the ransomed, to walk in, and it's possible to do so and give encouragement for all and be a light set on a hill. May sister Faye be interested enough to enter the Cole Porter ministry with myself and others. I mean, if anything we can do together, that we would do it, and the brethren and sisters who've been doing this for months, years, even decades, be blessed to continue it, especially as they see souls being brought to the truth, souls having the truth brought to them, even if they haven't stood up for Christ yet, to know that seed planting is all we're called to do, that one might water, another plant, but it's God that gives the increase. Thank you for being with each and every one of us, and especially with those who are sick or have ailments at this point in time. We look forward to hearing their testimonies of getting well and praising you, but praising you now that you care and that you would not allow anything that we're not able to cope with, but will, with that temptation, make a way of escape. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all that are going and leaving. Is there anything anyone would like to share? Perhaps a song to close out, any scripture song requests, etc. Please feel free to sing or send that request. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often offer. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Blessed Savior, thou hast promised thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. And what a thought. No more need for prayer, because rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. And we'll get, not only get to see Jesus, but the Father, and no doubt the Holy Spirit as well, the three members of the Godhead. What a thought. What a day awaits us all. Do you want to be there? Praise the Lord, we know the way. We don't have to say what Philip once said. Was it Philip or Thomas? One of the disciples. Lord, we don't know the way. So how can we know the way or how to get there? But we do. Amen. Thank you, Dick, Brother Dick. Thank you, but what a blessed song that was. Very encouraging. Yes, also known as Doubting Thomas, and what an evangelist God made of him. There are records in India that that's as far as he went, and so many churches were established through his ministry because the Holy Spirit was controlling him and leading him, just like our fellow apostle Paul. And sorry, Elder Bob, I forgot to mention your silent prayer request, and I have got that on my list, and be sure to know I will be praying for those and others that have many prayer requests. It's much like dear Sister Faye. She wasn't really silent, but I think I mentioned it once or twice or a couple of times, and you know, after 9 months, how long it takes to have a child, here she comes. I'm so glad she didn't have a heretic gun and shoot us down, you know. Oh no, they're not worthy. She was made of something else, and I look forward, I pray, she might come online with us one day and we can introduce you to her. I'm sure there'll be many interesting conversations. I really hope we can help this dear woman. She's on fire. She's the most interested individual I've come across, as I shared with Sister Lucy, and that's what sort of concerned us when we didn't hear from her. Praise the Lord, it's not ended there. Is there anything else anyone would like to say before we close the night, as it were, for you? Oh, please go ahead.
There was a request put in for With Healing in His Wings, and that's a scripture song. With healing in his wings, with healing in his wings, the Son of Righteousness arise. With healing in his wings. Malachi 4 verse 2.
That was beautiful, and thank you for bringing that to my attention. I saw that and I started to think, I wonder if that's in relation to something else. So thank you. I haven't heard that, and it's very encouraging. I've read that. What a blessing. Healing in his wings, who will abundantly pardon, the prophet Isaiah tells us, the mini gospel of the Old Testament also referred to. Well, it's been a privilege to be with you all. It is a high point in the middle of the week, as dear Sister Joan mentioned, and you know, and we need it, and may it continue to be, and look forward, it won't be long till Sabbath here, and look forward to meeting all with you. So loves and hugs and prayers are with you all, and we'll miss you, and we'll see you soon.